y'all pray for me as I sing, I see a bridge. I see a bridge, a way to cross all troubles and strife. Well, I'm not smart, I'm not strong. Many deeds I've done were wrong, and my heart is often grieved when troubles appear. But when the night is dark and long, oh, how peaceful is the dawn. I see a bridge, a way to cross all troubles and strife. When the valley I must cross is so dark that I lose my way. Hallelujah. And when the river is so wide, my courage fails. But I see a bridge standing wide, standing o'er the raging tide. I see a bridge, a way to cross all troubles and strife. As I journey through this life, its days and its nights, I know I must cross dark and lonely valleys. At times the path is so dim, I can hardly find my way. And great rivers of trials and tribulations will cross the narrow road that I will travel. But I will fear no danger, for I am never alone nor forsaken. With faith I shall look up and see a bridge. Yes, there will always be a way provided for my escape. When the valley I must cross,
hallelujah,
it's so dark that I lose my way. And when the river is so wide, all my courage fails. But I see a bridge straight and wide, it's standing o'er the raging tide. I see a bridge, a way to cross all troubles and strife.
Hallelujah.
When the valley I must cross,
hallelujah,
it's so dark that I lose my way. And when the river is so wide, my courage fails. I see a bridge straight and wide, it's standing o'er the raging tide. I see a bridge, a way to cross all troubles and strife. When the valley I must cross, it's so dark that I lose my way. And when the river is so wide, my courage fails. But I see a bridge straight and wide, it's standing o'er the raging tide. I see a bridge, a way to cross all troubles and strife. I see a bridge,
yes,
a way to cross all troubles and strife.
Hallelujah. Would you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Sister Judy, it had been too long since you sung a solo. Hallelujah. God's good, isn't he? I see a bridge. I see a bridge. Everybody standing with your Bible in your hand. I want to preach about the bridge tonight. Hallelujah. I'm serious. I want to preach about the bridge. That bridge is found in Psalms 23. And the title of my message tonight will be, The Lord is Our Shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. Did you know the Lord is your bridge over every dark situation? Did you know the Lord is your way out of every trial that you don't know what to do about? And the Lord is everything you need every time if you'll go to him. So let's go to Psalms 23 tonight, and let me preach to you about this beautiful psalm. You know, I'm a man that lusts to preach the great truths of the Bible. I love to preach that meat of the word. So many churches I go to, revivals, all you ever hear is just, you know, it's just milk. Just nothing but light, milky sermons. No deep, no depth, no call to the higher heights and deeper depths. I mean, that's the church world today, really. There's very little call to the deeper depths or the higher heights. Very little preaching about the book of Revelation. Very little preaching about the prophetic things around us. Very little preaching about old time Bible holiness and Bible righteousness. Just milk of the word. Well, I preach old time Bible holiness and truths and great prophetic truths. But I also have to stop along and just feed the saints. Feed the saints. The milk of the word. I don't know about you, but I drink 2 gallons of milk a week, approximately. I'm a milk baby. I really am. I remember when they used to feed me milk as a baby, and they would put sugar and vanilla flavoring in it, called vanilla milk. Most of you never heard of it. But as little children, back when I was a kid, you're talking about 80 years ago now, almost, I drank vanilla milk. I'll never forget it. Mama decided I was too old. I think I was about 1, maybe 1.5, maybe 2. And she decided I didn't need any more vanilla milk. I needed to drink the straight stuff. And I pitched a hissy. I'm telling you, I pitched a hissy. I didn't want that regular milk. I wanted my vanilla. Anybody else ever got that when you was little? Let me see your hand. Anybody? You remember it, brother? Oh, you're dating yourself, brother, fellas. I mean, that's a long time ago. And I didn't even remember it till a few sometime. You remember it too? Hallelujah. I'm so glad I got somebody with me that understands it. Well, I tell you, I think I would still like vanilla milk. I'll probably go home tonight and get me a glass of vanilla milk and put some chocolate in it and put some vanilla ice cream in there. And boy, that's my delight after sermons on Sunday night. I love it. And that's kind of like vanilla milk, a little different. But I'm going to try that vanilla, really. I hadn't tried it for a while, but I probably will shortly, Miss Chambers, if you'll help me. All right, Psalms 23. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now listen, don't you just go by memory. We're going to preach what this book is talking about. We're going to try to get to the real strength of this wonderful truth that we're reading about tonight, if God will help us. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. Never has there been a saint that doesn't go through some tough trials. When you come out the other side of them, you need a restoration of your soul. You need a refreshing from the throne room of God. You need a renewing of your strength in your spiritual being. And many Christians don't ever remember having such an experience. But we old-timers remember them because we was preached about them. And we knew that we needed them. And we look forward to He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me. Now listen, in the presence of mine enemies. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Oh, he's talking about the Holy Ghost now. He's talking about pouring that Spirit down on you until the sweet Holy Ghost of God bubbles up on the inside and it comes out of you, that praise and adoration unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Some of you were about to have your cup running over this morning. Hallelujah. That's what you got to have, a cup running over once in a while. You can't. Let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost can solve more problems in an altar service like this morning than you can solve in 10 years with human wisdom. The Holy Ghost can solve more problems. He can just come down and wash you until you feel like you've been bathed in the beauty of God's blessings and covered with oil of refreshing. Oh, it's wonderful. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, this is one great statement that I really have fell in love with over the last few months now. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I remember that great psalmist statement, they that be planted in the house of God, they that be planted in the house of God shall, and I'm trying to remember the last part of that verse, hadn't quoted it for a while, they that be planted in the house of God shall dwell in the courts of the Lord forever. I think that's close to right. Forgive me there. But listen, God wants us to know that the eternity of the bride is to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's New Jerusalem, by the way. I said it this morning, I think. Oh, I'm telling you, we got something ahead of us. Father, help me now to open the hearts of my dear people tonight with something that will refresh them. Let them really feed on this great milk of truth in Psalms 23. Father, we must have these experiences where we get a spiritual glass of great, sweet, wonderful Bible milk that feeds the soul and lifts the spirit and restores the faith and gives us new courage in the Lord. And I claim it, Father, in Jesus' name, and amen. And you may be seated. I won't preach long tonight because of the birthday gathering for Brother Buck, but I want you to listen carefully. Very carefully to what I preach to you. The Lord is our shepherd. I want you to repeat that with me because that must become a way of life with God's people. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm not preaching to you something that I don't practice. I think a preacher that ever preaches something he doesn't practice is guilty of treating his church wrongly. We must be first partakers of this if we are going to deliver it to you in an effective way. And I want to deliver it to you effectively. So I can tell you that Psalms 23 is a way of life with Brother Chambers. There's very few nights that I don't quote it at least one time during the night. If I wake up and need to go back to sleep, which I always really need to, usually I quote Psalms 23. And I quote it very carefully. And as I quote it, I call on the Lord and I cry out to God to be my shepherd. I cry out to the Lord to let me lay down in green pastures and let me be comforted by the still waters and let this wonderful truth of God's blessing be upon me. And so often I've literally laid there in the bed and sometimes you'd struggle with it and you'd quote it two or three times and you'd pray and then finally you would sense the peace just kind of slip into the bed beside you and just overwhelm you and you'd feel yourself going to sleep. How many times have I felt myself going to sleep while I was quoting Psalms 23? I mean, just didn't even finish the psalm. Maybe halfway through it, and I'd be out of here. I'd be in the world of sleep because I was depending upon God to comfort my heart. I was letting the Lord know I'm not trusting in Joe Chambers. I'm not trusting in my abilities. I'm depending on the Lord. And let's take this a little bit at a time. The Lord is my shepherd. You see, God wants you to learn to let him truly shepherd your life. Now, the only way to do that is to understand that God gave you in life a spirit of life. A spirit of life. He breathed upon Adam and Eve the breath of life, and they became a living soul. Now, when you're born, the first thing that happens after you're born is the doctor's got to get you to breathe. I mean, that's the breath of life. That first breath of life is when the spirit of life refreshes, maybe enters in you at conception. I won't argue that one. But I can tell you that breath of life is important. If it doesn't come, that baby's in trouble and that doctor's in trouble and that mother's heart's going to be broke. You know, because that breath of life is extremely, extremely necessary. It is the first action of that newborn child. Now, we are a soul. We are not just a body, we are a soul. And deep in that soul must reside this great breath of life, this great spirit of life. And if we learn that your spirit has connection to his spirit, and there is a relationship between every living person on this earth and God himself. The darkest heathen in the darkest place of some third world country has a spirit of life within him that comes from God. If he doesn't know the Lord God Jehovah, he will search to find a God in his own culture that somehow he can cling to. And there are many religions. And all of them are false, of course, except the biblical faith. But there are many religions, and they're nothing but the search of a soul for the shepherd. That's actually what religion is. The searching of a soul, of the spirit of a man for a shepherd. We all need a shepherd. We need a life that comes from outside of us, that comes in from the spirit world and feeds the soul. And that's the whole thing he's talking about. The Lord is my shepherd. He is the source of my life. He is the source of my joy. He is the source of my satisfaction. But he cannot shepherd me and give me this spirit of life if I don't reach out to him for it. Do you understand what I'm preaching tonight? You have the privilege of having a shepherd for your soul. You reject him, you get too busy to call on him, you get too caught up in the world to depend upon him, you're going to wither and your spiritual life is going to die and you're going to be a sad soul. You're going to be a sad soul. The Lord is my shepherd. I wonder if you'd say that with everything inside of you and mean it before God. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm telling you, the Lord is the shepherd of Joseph Chambers. The Lord has been my shepherd for 62 years, going on 63 now. He's been my shepherd. I've gone to him multiple times. Multiple times. From the time I was an early 16-year-old believer and Christian, I've found a place to hide and just say, Lord, I'm staying here until you come near my soul. I can't survive without you. You've got to get that hungry after God. The reason the church is full of baby Christians that have never grown up, have never gone on to spiritual heights, that's never put on any spiritual stature, that's never learned the way of holiness, that's never learned the walk of joy and satisfaction, is they've never realized how desperate they are to have a shepherd in the Lord. It's got to be a way of life. It's not something you just do occasionally. It's a life you live. The Lord is my shepherd today and yesterday and tomorrow. The Lord is my shepherd. Would you say it with me? The Lord is my shepherd. I seek no other. I desire no other. I don't bow before Buddhas. I don't go to some social worker to psychologize my life. I don't want all their garbage and their junk. I know the way of being shepherded. If you ever wonder why our world is hooked on pills and all kinds of drugs, and they've got to have a bottle of beer, or they've got to have some psychedelic drug. Let me tell you something. The need of this world is a shepherd for their soul. And really the whole burden out there, the whole problem out there, the whole dismay out there, the whole mess out there in this world is we have a world of people who have a yearning within that's calling out to the great God Jehovah, and they don't know him and they don't know how to depend upon him. And so they wander from day to day, from place to place, from post to post, from religion to religion, and never learn the Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The whole basis of I shall not want is based on the Lord is my shepherd. Did you know that? Hallelujah. The reason you don't have any wants is because you've learned the great shepherd, and you lean on him and you depend on him, and he's your life. Hallelujah. I don't think I've ever preached this as clear as this in my life. And I want you to know something tonight. The Lord wants to be your shepherd. The Lord wants to watch over you. The Lord wants to keep you. The Lord wants to feed you every day, every hour. His spirit beareth witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. That's the shepherd in action of the Holy Spirit. It's in the book of Romans chapter 8. That's what the shepherd does. He shepherds your soul. He feeds you. Hallelujah. Your spirit stays in contact with his spirit. I see so many young people, and I'll say this for these young people, who get saved and they never grow up. They never really become mature because they don't live in that word and learn to let the Lord be their shepherd every day. I wish I could get you tonight to make up your mind that you'll never let a moment start. Start. Not one morning. Get out of that bed, and the first thing you do is you cry out to the Lord, and you make the Lord your shepherd for the day. You put your life into his hands. You give yourself to his will. You commit yourself to walk in obedience to him. You commit yourself to depend upon him. And the moment you feel depressed or broken or sorrowful, you just remember the Bible said, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Hallelujah. When you submit yourself to the shepherd, the devil has to go. Somebody say hallelujah again. Hallelujah. What a joy to depend upon the shepherd of my soul. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. What's he talking about? He's talking about the work of the Holy Ghost. He's talking about the word of God that leads you in places of refreshing and joyful living. He's talking about the good things that God wants to feed your soul with. Hallelujah. When you stop in the middle of the morning and just sing a song out for the Lord. Somebody told me this week that they couldn't sing except when they was in the car by themselves. Well, that's about the way I am, because I'm not a good singer. But boy, can I have a good time by myself. And can I have a good time when, you know, Apostle Paul said, I sing in the spirit and I sing with the understanding. I love singing in the Holy Ghost. I really love singing in the Holy Ghost. Every Holy Ghost filled Christian ought to give themselves to God so devotedly that you constantly find yourself, as you go about the duty of the day, singing in the Holy Ghost, praising God in the Holy Ghost, magnifying God in the Holy Ghost, blessing the Father in the Holy Ghost. What a joy! What a joy! So, he maketh me to lie down. I mean, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Or sometimes I'll be just sitting in my chair at home and I'm worshiping. And the Holy Ghost just kind of comes through the room. And you just feel like you're somewhere beside a river of living water. And you're just soaking and drinking and feasting. See, that's what God wants to do in your life on a regular basis. He wants you to live in the Holy Ghost. He wants you to live in the Spirit of God. He wants you to be led by the Holy Ghost. He wants you to be full of God until it runs out of your life, until you're just flooded with the life of God. He restoreth my soul. Nobody can live in this sin-cursed mess that we live in and not have moments and times when the enemy comes at you like a storm. Apostle Paul had a time when the Bible said the messenger of Satan to buffet him. The messenger of Satan to buffet him. If you are a real Christian, you're going to be buffeted by the devil. You're going to be buffeted by the devil. You're going to have days and times where the enemy is so around you and coming against you until it seems like God is a million miles away. You're going to have times when you've got to struggle to just keep trusting him. And I want to tell you something. God is as real. God is as real when you don't feel a thing as he is when you feel heaven coming down in your soul. God is just as real when you're walking by faith as when you're walking in the Holy Ghost. God is just as real on those tough times as he is on those great times. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, the just shall live by faith. You're living by faith, church. Raise your hand and say, I'm living by faith in Jesus above. Hallelujah. I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm trusting in his power and in his... Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. How blessed be the name of the Lord. He's everything I need. And when I have those tough times, he restoreth my soul. Let me tell you something. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. When you go through a valley and you need valleys. Oh, you say, Brother Chambers, don't tell me that. I'm telling you, you need valleys. You got to understand that most people today are very fragile. They have very little stamina. They have very little stickability. They have very little courage. And valleys are made to build courage in your life. Valleys are given to you so that you can learn to live by faith. Valleys, I mean, sometimes they're deep and wide, as Sister Judy sung about. And sometimes you don't see a bridge for a while, but then all of a sudden, he restoreth my soul. That's when you see the bridge. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you find he's everything you have need of. And let me tell you, when you've been through a valley and you come out and your soul is restored, that is one of the most joyous times in your Christian walk. You will remember those times, Sister Vet, like you remember nothing else. I can stand here tonight and take you through 62 years and tell you time after time when he restored my soul. I remember them. How many remember when you were restored at some date, a time, a moment? You remember it when suddenly you've been through it. I mean, you'd been through it. You really had been through it. And suddenly here came the restorer. Hallelujah. And he lifted you out and gave you a new joy and a new excitement and a new peace. And brother, what a joy it was. Every believer has got to have these times. You've got to go through some valleys, friend. God didn't make you to be a weakling. God doesn't want us just tiptoeing through the tulips, as the old saying was. You know, God wants us being strong with courage and with stamina and strength. Hold your shoulders up straight. I mean, make it strong. God's got, I mean, the world has got, the church, I should say, has got so many wimps today that have never grown up and never become courageous. I got a call this afternoon. I won't name churches, preachers, or nobody. Got a call this afternoon from a big church in our city that their pastor had to go on furlough today because of some kind of charge. I don't know what the charge is. It sounds serious. But, you know, who knows what it is? We live in a world that there is so much to trouble and so much to disturb and so much to make you say, what way is this world going? I'm telling you, the problem is they forget to let the Lord be their shepherd. Hallelujah. If every time you get in trouble, you'd run to the shepherd. Every time you go through a valley, run to the shepherd. Every time the old tempter comes and lays something on you that looks so good in the flesh and in the carnality realm, and you even give it the second thought, you better run to the shepherd real quick like. Hallelujah. You better go find you some help. He restoreth the soul. He restoreth. Now, let me tell you what the purpose of restoration is here. The righteous man falleth seven times, and yea, riseth again. There is no such thing as perfection. From the time you're born again till you walk inside those pearly white city. Oh, there's some failures. I know I had mine. Thank God there were never moral situations that took me out. Thank God they were never so bad until my reputation was destroyed. Thank God there was always just inner battles and inner struggles and things of my own self. And he would discipline me, and he would deal with my soul, and he would correct me. I want to tell you something. The chastisement of the Lord is a strong thing. The chastening of the Lord is a tough thing. But when he gets through chastening you, you know what he does? He restores your soul. Hallelujah. He restores your soul. So if you ever have a problem and you go through a valley and you fail in that valley, you don't wallow around in that failure. You repent and you run to the cross and you let him restore your soul. That's what he's talking about here. He's talking about restoration when there's been a failure of some description. And sometimes good people have made some moral failures. And I pray that none of that will happen to any one of us. And there's no excuse for it if it does happen. But if it does happen, you get up and you get it straight and you run to God and you get pure from it. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when he gets you pure and he restores you, don't look back and wallow in your failures, okay? How many of you know that when God forgives you, it's over? Come on, raise your hand. When God forgives you, it's over. When God forgives you, it's over, young people. When God forgives you, that's finished. Don't you go back and wallow in that. Don't you go back and feel so bad about your failure. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind me, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. I'm telling you tonight, I'm on my way. I'm pressing. I'm on my way. Hallelujah. I see the prize at the end of the race. See, I'm old enough at 78. I can see the prize at the other end. Hallelujah. Something special about that, Brother Buck. You're seeing the prize on the other end, aren't you, brother? Oh, I see the prize on the other end. I get so homesick sometimes, I just want to go on and go. But then I know there's some reasons I can't. Got to hang around a while. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. Hallelujah. Oh, he restoreth my soul. And then, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Anybody ever been in the shadow of death? Let me see your hand. Sister Chambers has. A few of you have. A few of you have. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Oh, I ought to preach on that a while. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, I love verse 5. We all have enemies. Well, maybe some of you don't have any. If you don't have any enemies, let me see your hand. Nobody? You don't have any enemies? Well, I'm not going to be your first one, okay, buddy? Hallelujah. And probably he doesn't. Most children really don't have any enemies. As they live the Christian life, the time will come when they will. But let me tell you, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I'll never forget one time. Was having a tough period. We've had some tough ones. This lady come to me and she was mad as a setting hen at me. Boy, she was mad. I'm so tired of you getting in that pulpit and acting like there's nothing wrong. I said, ma'am, what do you want me to do? Get up there and cry in my milk all the time? I'm not going to do that. I'm trusting God. I'm dependent on God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will depend on God. He will bring me through and he will make a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Do you realize nothing makes your enemies angrier than when God's got a table spread in front of you and they see you behind your table? I don't want to be mischievous, but sometimes I just want to tell some of my enemies how good God's blessing me. Hallelujah. That's a little mischievous sounding, isn't it? God forgive me. I'm not trying to be. I don't want to be. But I'm telling you, he prepareth a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And I guess if he does it, it's all right for me to tell it, isn't it? Is it all right for me to tell it? Hallelujah. He prepareth a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I love this. Thou anointest my head with oil. I felt the Holy Ghost moving this morning in a sweet way around this altar. Hallelujah. He was blessing my soul. Watching you, Sister Twitter, was a joy to me. Seeing God bless your soul. Seeing God bless you, my dear sister from Texas. I'll get that name straight. For some reason, my brain hasn't remembered that one. But I want to tell you something. It blesses me when I see you getting blessed. I see Sister Judy getting blessed, or Sister Ginger getting blessed, or Sister Dolores, or Sister Chain. I want to tell you something. We're God's people. And the Lord wants to, he wants to pour his oil on your head. Did you know that? He wants to pour his oil on your head. That's the Holy Ghost. Do you know what the Holy Ghost does when it moves upon you? My Bible says, if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead, that's the Holy Ghost, if he dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal body. Woo! Feeling the quickening of the Holy Ghost is the sweetest thing in the world. What does this world that doesn't know anything about the Holy Ghost do? I feel so sorry for people in this church world that have no relationship with the Holy Ghost baptism. I feel sorry for them. What do they do? What do they do when they're in trouble? Oh, he anointeth my head with oil. Hallelujah. He anointeth my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Hey, you know what I'm praying for? I would like for it to happen tonight, but I am expecting the cup of the Holy Ghost to run over in this church. I'm looking for God to fill people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost right while the gospel is being preached, right while we're singing and worshiping God, until people begin to receive this wonderful baptism. The greatest need of this hour is a move of the Holy Ghost in the church of the living God. Hallelujah. We need a visitation of the Holy Ghost. Would you stand as I try to finish tonight? Let me tell you, we need a moving of the Holy Ghost, a mighty visitation, a mighty outpouring, a mighty shaking that leaves us absolutely renewed and refreshed in the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. See, now, if you will get in this wonderful psalm and live right here in Psalm 23, if you'll get here and live everything I preached, let the Holy Ghost show you more, and you'll live in this psalm, I want to tell you something. You'll find that grace and mercy is following you everywhere you go. Hallelujah. Grace and mercy on your trail. Grace and mercy right behind you, because you're living in these promises of the book. Grace and mercy taking care of you, watching over you, feeding your soul, blessing your life. Isn't it wonderful to live in the grace and the mercy? And the closing statement, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I wonder how many of you, now think about it, New Jerusalem, 1,500 miles square, 1,500 miles high, 12 levels of city. That's 12 levels of a 1,500 mile square city. That's 12 times 1,500 square miles. Now, brother, you can mark that down in your book. That's a lot of space. It's only 1,000 miles to where you live. Is that right, my brother? 1,000 miles. Add 500 to that, and you've got 1,500, and that city is that much square and that much high with 12 levels. And he said, David said it, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That wasn't a dream. Through the years, I've read that and thought of that as just a beautiful spiritual statement. And suddenly, some time ago, I realized that was literal. That it really, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to have a place in New Jerusalem, a beautiful place, a mansion. I'm sure it will be right beside Juanita, Sister Chambers' mansion. And I'm sure I'll be able to look up at hers and see how much bigger and greater it is than mine, because she put up with me all these years. But I'm here to tell you, mine's going to be all I need. Hallelujah. And I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you're going to live there, let me see your hand. You absolutely have made up your mind that you're going to live a godly, holy life, and you're going to spend eternity in the house of God. Woo, Brother Dylan, what a day that's going to be. I'm going to come visit you. We'll sit down and talk for a week or two. Hallelujah. Time will be of no consequence. We can just spend eternity together. Anybody looking forward to that? How many will say with me, the Lord is my shepherd? Let's all say it together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What is there to want, Brother Steve? Nothing, nothing, nothing. Oh, what a joy. I want you to live under the shepherding of the Lord, okay? I want you to live under the shepherding of the Lord. He careth for you. He really does. He really does. Reach over and get a hand beside you. The ladies are preparing this little time of fellowship. Brother Buck's birthday, and we love to honor you, Brother Buck. We love you much. Hallelujah. What a brother. Hallelujah. So good to have Brother and Sister Twitter, and they're going over with us, right? You have to go with us and enjoy it. We're a family. Of course, so good to have Brother and Sister Fallis. Oh, what a delight. They'll be going with us too, I'm sure. Let's love on him. Father, I love you. You've been so good.